This is a reading from the third chapter of Genesis. Adam and Eve heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. But they hid from him among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to Adam, "Where are you?" And he answered, "I heard you in the garden, but I was afraid because I was naked. So I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Father, thank you for mercifully clothing the shame of our nakedness. Help us open our eyes. Help us to see your nakedness in the vulnerable and the exposed, the uncovered around us. And in your mercy, strengthen us that we might clothe them for Jesus' sake. Amen. It's hard to really wrap our minds around the horror of nakedness, to be completely uncovered, exposed, vulnerable. I don't think we really understand the shame of nakedness. And perhaps that's one of the reasons for the lack of modesty we so often see from the fashion industry and in the money that we throw at that industry, clothing ourselves. The shame of nakedness. Shortly after this event that John just communicated to us so effectively, God mercifully clothed Adam and Eve. He mercifully and graciously covered their nakedness. Now, there was some discipline that had to come down too. Some judgment, some fruit, some results that had to occur. But God mercifully clothed them in their nakedness. Jesus, of course, said, "I was naked and you clothed me." But you know what? In his historic moment of nakedness hanging on the cross, we did nothing. I was probably sometime in my 30s before I actually got a grip of the fact that part of what happened in a Roman crucifixion was the stripping of the victim naked. The shame of being displayed naked in front of your family, your friends, the 12 that he'd mentored, his enemies. I don't know if you've ever been part of an outdoor Good Friday service to where it all becomes much more visual and tactile and interactive. A few years ago when I attended an outdoor Good Friday service, when they got to the station of the cross where Jesus is stripped naked, they had handed out strips of cloth to all the participants. And when you hear the scripture, "And they stripped him of his garments," you tear the piece of cloth. So you hear the tearing, you feel the ripping, you see that, reminding us of how cruelly he was treated. He hung naked on the cross, and we did nothing. And yet he says, "I was naked and you clothed me." I was naked and you clothed me. And we come back to where we started. How do we do that? The least of these. We constantly come across people in our path, in our daily journeys, that are exposed in some way. Some just need physical clothing. They need a coat. They need a pair of shoes Some need physical clothing. Others are exposed, made vulnerable and naked, covered in all different kinds of ways. Emotionally, in their career, relationally. And if we listen to the silent whisper, open our eyes, we can see Jesus in those uncovered people and have an opportunity to cover the shame of their nakedness. He also said, I was sick and you visited me. Reggie and other Greek scholars in the room, please forgive me if I butcher this Greek transliteration, but I think the Greek word, if I read it correctly, was asthenēo. It literally means without strength, infirm, or without strength. The one who doesn't have strength can't even come to us and ask for help. The one that is without strength waits, languishes, hoping that we will come and visit them. And when we are sick, when we are without strength, how vulnerable and exposed we feel. As we got involved in this Advent conspiracy, one of the areas that people in our house church got very concerned about is the whole AIDS thing. And we got involved, first of all, in sending some money to the Compassion AIDS Initiative. I have an idea that probably where that's going to lead is us getting involved in reaching out to those who suffer from HIV/AIDS in our area, something closer. But you know, this Advent conspiracy thing, this turning our worship, making our worship dangerous by letting it flow out into dangerous acts of service, it's not about guilt. It's not about feeling guilty because we haven't done something yet or having done enough. It's about inviting the Holy Spirit to set our imaginations on fire with the possibilities and to open our eyes up to the people that are around us. I heard an evangelist when I was about 11 or 12 years old talk very colorfully about charging hell with a water gun. When you're a kid and like to watch the Westerns on TV, in the movies, charging hell with a water gun sounds like a valiant thing. But you know what? Hell, the fires of hell are not to be extinguished in anyone's life by a water gun. But what is threatening to the gates of hell in the lives of people are when we allow the Lord to impel us in the fullness of His Spirit out of the dangerous act of worship to reach out in dangerous acts of service and compassion to others. May the Holy Spirit open the eyes of our hearts to see the naked and to see the sick around us and to recognize Jesus in them.